Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. AJ, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be talking to you today.
This is going to be a great conversation. You and I both love podcasts. We shared podcast suggestions with each other, which is one of my favorite questions to ask people once I know that they like podcasts. So how did you first find Organize 365?
Well, it was probably the podcast because I'm always searching for more things to fill my earbuds. I'm just constantly have like an earbud in my ear as I go through chores and travel and all the rest of that stuff. So I'm sure I went down a rabbit hole of organizers and listened to probably your entire catalog a few times. Wow. So that's, yeah. And then when you had a blog, went through that and just combed it for everything I could think that was useful to me.
So were you, you said you went down the rabbit hole of organizing. So were you just like researching organizing? Were you looking to get organized? Like what was your thought process about Googling that?
Definitely trying to get organized. I've always been sort of like that Franklin Covey person, that planner person. When you talk about how like Staples is your Shangri-La, like totally relate to that. Walk up and down every aisle multiple times. So always having planners, putting them together, like Franken planners where you put pieces together and all that kind of stuff. So always knowing that I could be more efficient. So my struggle is always having way more ideas than I can act on and trying to organize those. So that's usually what I'm looking for when I was looking for organizing ideas and tips.
Yeah, that's totally me too. Like we're so blessed to be able to be multi-passionate and to be able to chase after multiple things. So then we're like, I want to hashtag all the things all the time.
But it's paralyzing sometimes. Yeah. And I think I was going through a phase of paralysis because I just finished a really huge multi-year project. And now I was like, well, now what? It wasn't now what, I don't know what to do. It was now what, how do I figure out which to do first?
Yes. So who lives with you and your family? Let's figure out where we're starting from first.
Okay. In the burbs. And I've got two kids who are 9 and 11 and my husband. And we have a new puppy, our COVID puppy. And I'm probably the least neat and clean of all of them. But we all have our cross to bear.
Well, okay. And those are school age kids. I mean, yep. I think that when your kids are between the ages of like 5 and 12, those are like such golden years. Like the kids are independent enough that you're like, hey, go play or bring your dishes over or whatever, but they're not so independent that they're like, I'm going over here and can you drive me here? And I need this money for this thing. Like it really is a sweet spot of parenting, in my opinion.
It feels good. It feels like a special time. Like last night we played a card game just randomly and it was so much fun. And it was nice. It was good.
Yeah. So, okay. I hadn't heard Franken planner until a couple of months ago, like where you take a bunch of planners and you make your own planner. But I totally used to do that. I had a Franklin Covey planner. When Greg and I were newly married and we had bought our house, so it was maybe our second Christmas together, I asked for a Franklin Covey planner. This would have been in the late 90s. And I asked for the navy leather one, which was like really expensive. And I got all the sheets that went in. Like it was my entire Christmas gift was this Franklin Covey planner. And as soon as I opened it, he made a fire and I sat in front of it and I put the planner together and I'm filling it all out. And he's like, it's Christmas Day. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be great. So loving it. So I understand where you are when you found Organize 365. So what were you, like, what else was going on? What were you looking to get organized?
primarily my time and my ideas and trying to figure out some system that would help me organize those. So I was going through all of your stuff and other folks too, and trying to put things together. So it was a Sunday basket, essentially. This is before you even had a physical Sunday basket, mm-hmm. like this is way back. And I was like, slash pockets are... the bomb. They totally solve so many problems for me. I have so many slash pockets all over here. And that was great. And I liked you and I liked your sort of outlook on life. And we decided to move. And our house at the time was really disorganized and frustrating and you could never find things. And my husband and I were organizing things in a different way. And I thought, okay, this new house is going to be just a fresh start. And the new house is not going to be disorganized. We are going to organize a new room, new house, new rules. So I, even though I was doing the Sunday basket on my own, I bought your 100-day system, mm-hmm. and which was a la carte at the time, and just went through all the videos like multiple times. And then the first thing I did was the storage room. So I went to Home Depot, like, I don't know, four different times to buy all of the shelving they had that, you know, like the HDX or whatever with the mallet, you put mm-hmm. it together and the bins. And it was just like row after row after row of these shelves and the bins were empty. But I'm like, oh, no, they're going to be full. I need them. Don't move them. and organizing the storage room, which is still organized. And it's a thing of beauty.
So you organized the storage room before you moved?
Yes.
That's perfect. So this podcast is going to come out in December of 2022. And we've just started a private podcast for our All Access members. And the first four podcasts, which are in December, which will rotate through every single December, are organizing your storage room. So I have the 100-day program start in the kitchen because it is the easiest one to organize in little bite-sized pieces. Like, organizing your storage room is, I mean, Olympic level organization is required when you're organizing a storage room. And yeah. It does take a little bit of money. Like, you really do need the proper bins and shelves for it to truly be maintainable without a lot of extra work. But there are so many different things. But AJ, I will say, when we did in-home professional organization jobs, we always started in the storage room because that's where we were able to get rid of things. That's where we were able to see what other things the homeowner already had, what they had natural duplicates and things of. And once we had that system in place, then we could organize the living spaces and move things into storage or out of storage back into living spaces. And we as the organizers knew what to do. But setting up the storage room, I mean, you can't do it in 15 minutes a day and you really have to be all in on it, but it makes complete and total sense. If you're going to move, organize your storage room before you move. It makes moving a breeze. It makes it so easy.
It really was. And it opened up things like the kitchen, which does not have enough storage. So your ideas about if you only use it once a year, does it have to live in the kitchen? No, it does not. So all of our baking stuff, our canning stuff, our, you know, waffle maker, you know, all this stuff that you want to have, but it doesn't need to be at your fingertips. It's all there, but it's easy to get. And the idea of organizing our storage as it was like a non-starter. It was no way. I would never have had the energy.
It's also an easy way to declutter, organize, and stage your house for sale and prepare yourself for moving. Because if you pack everything in these plastic totes, you don't also have to put those in boxes unless you're doing like a cross country move or something. But if you're just moving from one area in the city to the next, or you're like, moving companies will move plastic boxes the same way they'll move regular boxes. And then they just move them. You literally move in and your storage room is already done as soon as you move in.
Yeah. I mean, they just put tape around it and they moved my bins because my craft room was in bins too.
Yeah. Okay. So awesome. So you were doing the 100-day program. You ended up moving. And if I'm doing the math correctly, then your youngest was about 5 or just over 5 when you moved into the new house?
Seven.
Okay. Seven.
Yeah.
So again, it makes complete sense that you would say, okay, here are the new rules in the new house, because your kids were in a different phase of life than they were in your last house. And so that also gave you the ability to make new rules. So I love that you kind of tucked those two things in together.
It worked nicely. And then since you're talking about kids, I've organized my kids' rooms in the way that you've talked about with the apartments, and they've totally taken that on. I bought the kids' program. They've never watched any of it. I watched all of it. And my son's room in particular is set up very sort of ADHD friendly. Everything is out, but not. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have a dresser. He's got open bins with stacks of stuff, and he just pulls, and he will naturally clean his room because it's not overwhelming. He can do it. It's weird.
That is so awesome. So they don't do the kids' checklists on Saturday or Sunday. You've just taught them to them.
Yeah. They just sort of do it naturally. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. If you set up your environment, like you said, your storage room is maintainable. Your kids' rooms are maintainable. It's not just the bins that you put things in or having things look pretty. It's the thought and the work that you did in what you were going to put in each bin. Like, okay, we do canning. That's going to take two bins. I'm going to put everything in those bins. They're going to go in the storage room, as opposed to just organizing canning supplies wherever they were in your house in a pretty way. It's those questions you ask yourself and then learning about how kids organize and then teaching that to your kids. That's why it's staying maintained.
Yeah.
It's because you thought about, I would think that each of your kids have just a few differences in how their rooms are organized.
Oh, they're completely different.
Things that they use. Completely different. Okay. They're completely different. About that.
But they fit themselves. So my daughter has a dresser, you know, normal dresser, but it's in her closet, and she's got an office area that she's created, and she keeps moving around her stuff all the time. And my son will too. But it's their own space. They have total control over it, and they keep tweaking it to make it easier for them. So they're just like thinking it through in a different way. And that's been great. So even for Halloween, we have one bin for Halloween, bring the bin out, everything goes up. And then all the stuff I find clearance goes back in, and then it goes away. I mean, even the pumpkin my son has to make for the library day, where he has to decorate a character, it's all in there. I don't have to think about it. I pull the bin out, everything is in there, and then it all goes back.
So I'm super excited to hear you say that the kids' rooms are different, because I think so often, you know, I talk a lot on the podcast about how your kitchen is going to function differently in different phases of life. But I think it's important to say that, like, no two bedrooms are ever going to look the same, because it's your uniqueness inside of that space, but they all can function and be maintained when you think about the different zones. I love that. And I bet your kids, see, they not only are learning how to maintain their own space, but they're observing that their sibling space looks differently and it also maintains. So they're learning that flexible part of organization, in that the organization should match the person being organized, not necessarily the space that is inside of the house, the way the house was designed.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So I can't wait to hear. When's the first time that you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
Okay. I have two good examples. So one is the one where I realized it. And then I'll tell you the other one. So, you know, my kids are always coming up with schemes and plans and whatever. And so they'll come to me and they'll say, we need, you know, tape. And before I'd be like, oh, now really? can I get it for you later? Because it was a thing. And now I like grab my tape bin and I pull it out, and then I'm like, okay, well, what is the project? Tell me about it. And then I'm going to tell you what the best tape is. So instead of them hearing, oh, I'm bothering mom, mm-hmm. now the conversation is, she's collaborating with me and making my, the shield I'm making better, because we're going to use the electrical tape, and then we're going to do this other thing on it and make it even better. And it's a whole different exchange between the two of us. So I love that part of it. Like, they're not annoying me. I could be in the middle of whatever and I can immediately solve what they need, and they go and they do their thing.
Wow. Okay. I'm that mom who goes, can I do it later? But I never realized that's why I did it. I mean, I don't do it now, but I totally did. I never put together it was because of the work related to get the thing. But it, you're right. That's exactly why I did it too. I love how you're able to pull out the changes in your parenting and your family functioning from the organization. Because it's harder for me to see that as the organization creator. Because usually when I would organize in people's homes, I wouldn't know how it changed when they were living in it after. They would just say it stays organized. I didn't know what that meant. Okay, I can't wait to hear the second one then.
So the second one is when I realized that I was not like other moms anymore. It was this summer. It was that little period between everyone being very afraid of COVID, but before Delta. So there was that like little sweet spot where we suddenly, like, maybe things are normal again. Well, that's fun. But so I was at a backyard party and kids were there and moms were there and we were drinking wine and it was a good time. And the moms were all sort of swapping tips about summer camp and where is your kid going? Do you have any spots? Do you have this? Do you have that? And I'm thinking to myself, what? I had them all registered in February because I know the summer camps sell out. So, you know, we're done. What are you talking about? But, you know, I'm nodding, you know, sympathetically because nobody wants to hear that. And then we're talking more about school because all our girls were starting middle school, different school. And they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about it? And I'm thinking, well, I just did the school back to school blitz because it's, you know, it happens months earlier. I already know the school supply list. I'm already thinking about like, what's the best backpack and brainstorming with my daughter about how to organize her locker and like how to teach her how to use a combination. I mean, like I'm so far past, ooh, it's going to be weird. And then we're still chatting, you know, it was a nice night. And one mom mentioned her kid's birthday party and I mistakenly said, oh, let me tell you what I got for your daughter. Well, the party wasn't for two more months. I had already bought the present and it didn't occur to me that that was weird because I'd already had a glass and a half of wine and everyone looked at me like, wait, what?
And then did you say everybody should go do the back to school blitz? Because it's still up. You should go watch it.
I did.
Here's your playbook.
I know I should have. I just thought it was going to be too preachy, but I've definitely shared it like one-on-one with other moms. But yeah, that really opened my eyes. And I was like, oh, I live very differently.
And you do. I mean, once you start being proactive, once you get enough time back and you don't need a lot of organization, it's just a little bit. And you start to have small wins at home, then you're like, oh, what else can I do? What else can I do? What else can I do? And you start competing with yourself. You're not competing with anybody else because you're in your house. Like you don't even know what other people are doing. But it is funny when you look up and I will be like, okay, I get a lot done in a week. My whole team gets a lot done in a week. Like we literally do in a week what most companies do in a month and maybe even more than that, just because we are so well oiled and communicate and we're not stressed and we're not overwhelmed and we're not overworking. Like we're working a regular hour. We just are really, really organized and proactive in planning and thinking things through. And like we'll think something all the way through and we'll be like, oh yeah, we shouldn't do that at all because we thought it all the way through because we had the time to do it. And it is a different way of living. And people do look at you like, I don't understand how you do that. It doesn't take forever to move from one way of living to the other way of living. It's about a year to do that. But once you move to the other side, like you will never go back.
It's probably taken me longer than that, but I have, I did two of your workbox day plannings and I signed up for the subscription because I was doing it independently, but this kept me accountable. Mm-hmm. And then I just signed up for the home version of it too, just to force myself to do this planning because I see how helpful it is in freeing up my bandwidth for other things that I want to do.
How exciting. Well, have you had any unexpected things other than COVID since you've started getting organized? You've been doing this a couple of years?
Yeah. Yeah, COVID is the big, you know, messed everything up thing. And when you talk about, well, you can get, you know what you can get rid of because you haven't used it in COVID yet. And I was like, oh, I got everything. And I know exactly where it is.
So that's true because we were saving all this stuff because just in case, you guys, just in case totally happened. So moving on.
And I had it. So that was good. I could craft out of my own room forever and ever. So I think that's probably the big thing and for unexpected stuff.
And so did anything specifically with COVID change how you guys organized things in your house or?
It's changed the flow of work more and the, how my husband and I share, chores and that sort of thing. So that's been good.
It's been good, bad. Like, can you share any of those? Like, because I think most people have changed how they use their houses for work and also recognizing and how they share household responsibilities. I mean, it's been a huge discussion.
Yeah, it has. So my husband has taken on almost 100% of the, definitely 100% of the cooking and food prep and
it's awesome. Cook. Isn't it awesome?
It is a so good cook. Awesome. I'm not a good cook. So that has been, everybody wins for that. And he does almost all of the cleaning and all of the laundry and I fold it in my Marie Kondo way. And just like the one thing I kept, just not having the commute anymore and having to work in this space and sort of like being on top of each other all of the time. It feels like we've gotten better about coordinating and organizing and keeping things moving smoothly.
And will you stay home or is your commute going to come back?
I don't know. They keep talking about it. And supposedly in January, we're going to go back. And pre-COVID, I was hardcore not going to work from home. That I want work at work, home at home, don't mix the two. And now I'm like, this is really nice. So I've changed. So I don't know. We'll see what happens for both of us, how it's going to work out.
Yeah. Halfway through COVID, I just decided I work at the office all the time. And it's been so great. I actually finally worked all of my work. I was keeping everything at home also, like my official workbox of things I wasn't going to do this quarter and stuff like that. And finally last week, I was like, it's been 11 months now. I'm clearly not working from home anymore. There's a baby there now. So I've moved it all into the office and I'll come in on the weekends. I mean, it's a 10-minute drive, so it's not a big deal if I have to go over to the office. So yeah, I officially don't work at home. And for someone who's always worked from home, it's so weird. I think that it's not a, everyone should work from an office. Everyone should work from home. Everyone should be hybrid. I think there's just going to be a lot more individuation in jobs, just like there's always been in schools and everything else. It's not going to be a one size fits all. And so there's, you know, the biggest thing I would say with changing work environments is just making sure that your communication matches so that people are not left out. And that is the hardest part, but I've always had remote and in-person employees. So I've always had to have really good communication systems between people. I think a lot of companies that were all in person before didn't realize how much communication happens just in person or things you walk by or things you see on bulletin boards that really you have to be very explicit with your communication now and make sure that everyone who needs that information actually gets it, even if they're not on your team or in your department or who's working remote. That's the biggest thing that I've noticed.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of growing pains. And what I do is very paper heavy. And you could measure files by inches and feet.
Oh my.
And so to go from that to pure electronics was a really painful learning curve, but I'm there now. So we can do it.
You know how I would have done it, AJ.
Printed all
reams of paper and a printer. That's how I would have done it. Totally. It's amazing how much I print. So what do you think you have more of now that you've been on this organizing journey?
I know everybody says time and that's not my answer.
Okay.
I still want to have more time. I still fantasize about being the girl I forget the name of the TV show, but she would clap her hands and stop time. That's still my fantasy that I want that. But I can do so much more in the time that I have, and I can choose what it is that I want to do in that time. So I've incorporated prayer more throughout my day so I can be more thoughtful about that. But I also have like four or five projects going on at any time, and nothing seems, I might be stressing myself out, but things aren't falling through the cracks. I'm able to keep pushing everything along. And I've learned not to tell people everything I do because it stresses them out.
It does, doesn't it? Like, I think I usually say more time because people listen to what you're doing and then they're like, I don't have enough time for that. So that's why I say you have more time, because what you get done in your time is sometimes 3 to 5 times what other people get done in their time. It's not even just double. And they're like, I don't understand how you could possibly do all those things in the same amount of time that I'm living in. And so I think people understand it as time, but it really truly is just more capacity to do more and at the same time reduce stress. Nobody understands it until they get there, because we just sound like we're wackadoodle when we say these things.
Capacity. That's the word. My capacity has grown.
Yeah.
To meet almost my ambition.
So here's the other thing I realized. That's never going to happen. But what's really cool is then you can increase the capacity of those around you. And then collectively, you can achieve your true ambition. Because usually, whatever it is you're uniquely created to do, or you dream of doing, is not something that you independently alone can do. And it's going to involve a lot more people. And so as your capacity increases, as the amount that you can get done in your time increases, you're able to think through things more, plan better, delegate more effectively, empower the people around you and support them. And then collectively, you all get more and more capacity. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And then the impact gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's when you truly can reach your full potential and your full impact. It is a collaborative sport.
Absolutely. 100%. You should see the way I'm able to run work meetings now with my slash pockets, because I pull out my slash pocket and I'm like, well, here's where we ended off last time. So-and-so, you said you were going to do this. How's that going? And they're like, oh, and so now they know they're going to be accountable so that the next meeting they're prepared. And, you know, I have my pocket and they see the purple come out and they know that, you know, we're getting on to business here.
So cool. So what do you have less of then?
Patience with people. Isn't that awful? I've forgotten what it is like to be normal in that way. And so I need to have more grace for people.
So I understand what you're saying there as well. And so what I would say I notice is not that I have less patience when things are disorganized. It's that I notice them instantaneously. Like, they don't get to the point where I'm like, well, how did that get so disorganized? I'm like, oh, this doesn't seem like it's going well. Oh, I know we're not going here. Okay. What form, what thing, like, what can we put in place so that this does not continue on and doesn't happen again? And it's just, you know, getting more and more and more organized and productive in every area. Yep. Yeah. You just see more. Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
Yeah. I thought about that question a bit, and, no, not really. I'm, you know, Catholic. We, you know, go through confession, we give it up, you know, don't worry about the guilt, or don't ponder on the guilt some more. So things happen in the time they're supposed to happen. And it
agreed.
It felt like the way that your systems got implemented in my life were when I was ready for them.
Yep.
And using them the way that made sense to me until they didn't. And then like doing the DIY Sunday basket until I was like, this is stupid. Just buy the Sunday basket. You know, that, just buy it. I mean, like, I'm buying the binder for other people and not doing it myself. This is stupid.
Yeah.
That, those kind of, you know, yeah. So maybe those in terms of regrets, just not seeing it a little faster.
And what do you want to do next?
Oh my gosh, do you have time?
yes, so, I do.
So many things. So the project I'm working on right now that I'm very excited about, I'm working on it with at least 3 different women actively. It's publishing a new pocket constitution. So that's one exciting project I'm working on. And then I'm also working on helping on an amicus brief. So it's coordinating people from all over the country for that. And I mean, that's just like November. So,
wow. Lots of how fun. Cool is that? Like, how fun is that?
Yeah.
So it fun.
It is. Oh, I can't contain it.
What advice would you give to people who are listening and they're just starting out? Like this is coming out in December. So they're like, okay, next year is going to be my year. I'm going to get organized. They're all gung-ho. What would you say?
I would do a planning session probably first. If they don't have the Sunday basket, that's where I would start. And then have a plan, work the plan. Don't do the annual plan, do a 3 to 4 month plan because it's doable, and break it all down into small steps. And it's all about small steps for me, like the little improvements that you can make and build onto it, and don't get overwhelmed. Just do what you can. That makes sense to you. Focus on your problem area.
Just take the next step. Just take the next step. Like motivation is such a fickle friend, right? Like,
yes.
She's here and she's gone, and then she's back again, and then she's gone again. So, you know, follow your energy, but watch your energy so that as you start to be like, oh, this is feeling hard, or oh, this is feeling like more than I can handle right now, be like, okay, we're done for today. Mm-hmm. And just, I love the small steps and the chunking. I think we're much more able to handle change and able to really make significant change in our lives when we do it a little bit at a time over a longer period of time than trying to do it all in one fell swoop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, AJ, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Any last parting words that you want to give?
Slash pockets will change your life if they haven't already. I think that's my my biggest piece of advice. They're genius.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.